Amen. Well, take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8, if you will. And we're going to move on down some other verses here. And I hope that this has been a blessing. I tell you, before we pray, how do you approach the Word of God? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing thing to me. I sit and study and I think sometimes, especially when I'm by myself, and I rehearse the fact, what is this book to me? And in my mind, I go back and I know that when God spoke to Adam and Eve, what happened, they failed. He still prepared a way that he could speak to them. Then later, he spoke to individuals. And we know the Holy Spirit comes upon people when they were doing certain things in the Old Testament. And we know that God spoke, gave later the prophets, who in turn gave information to the nation of Israel and to the world. And then we come down to Christ's day. So God had a connection here with us as far as humanity is concerned to let us know what his will was and what was going on. But it's not like the age of grace. We are so privileged to live in this age we're living in now. And the reason I say that, because when Christ was here, and we saw last week, he told the disciples, "When I've got to leave. The Holy Spirit's going to come. I've got to leave. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you." And why would that be? Because now, the Holy Spirit has never spoken to us verbally. Have you ever heard him speak to you verbally? I never had an open voice come to me and speak to me. God could, but he's never spoke to me verbally. And so what he said, what he's telling me now, that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and you and I who are saved, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've heard that a number of times the last few weeks. For rehearsing now, you understand more. He gave us the gift, and that gift is some things that came along with that. But he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God to be written so we'd have a voice. This is God's voice to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe this so literally. You may think I'm out of my mind. Fine, I enjoy it anyhow. I believe so literally, when I'm studying at home in my house, and I'm sitting here in a chair at my desk, and I have a chair, right, two chairs where we counsel with, and I sit there at times, and I think to myself, now, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He's a real person. So he's here in this room with me right now. I can't see him, but he's here. I can hear his voice through this book because this is God's word. As far as I'm concerned, he's sitting there in that chair with me because this book's there. So what I'm saying, he lives in me, but I hear him through this book. This is God's word. And what's so amazing about it is that's how God speaks to us. So sometimes I get along and I say, "Lord, I know you're here. I know you're here, but I've got you like I want to. I can't see you, but I'm here." So when I lay this book in that chair, it's God's holy word. So everything I'm going to know about God's in this book. That's the reason I spend so much time in it, because I believe you'll never know anything about him unless in this book. Now, the Bible says the heaven declares there's a God, but it just shows you there is one, don't tell you who he is. You heard me say that many times. So now, when I get, and go back again, and when I get to where Paul's at in chapter 7, he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" And I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, he starts giving the verses. Now, notice in the last few weeks and couple of months, we've heard everything that God himself has done for us. Everything I've been talking about, he gave to us. God gave us his Holy Spirit. We already know that. In that, he gave us a new mind, he gave us a new heart, and he gave us a new identity. Now, we're going to look at the latter part of this. Look with me in chapter 14, chapter 8, verse 14. Read a few verses, and then we'll go forward. Because not only has he given us those things, that's what God has done. He's laid out a understanding here how he did that. He's given us these things for a purpose, that we may understand who he is and what he's doing for us in the age of grace. I know this. When I see just this part, and what other parts you see about salvation, there's not one thing that I could ever do in the past, present, or future to get saved myself. There's no way I could save myself. Because God has taken many verses here and showed me what he's done for, not if you don't understand it, for me. He showed us what he's done for us individually. And then gives us those privileges we had. We looked at four of those. We looked at the fifth one. Then we moved to our... No, so far in this, we've not seen much obligation on our part. It's every bit God's obligation. What he has done for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And by the way, he proved that 6,000 years that man could not, Well, 4,000 years that man could not do it for himself, and God sent his son, and God did something for us we could not do for ourselves, and we have the privilege to live 2,000 years later, and God is working that out which he has done in us, preparing a people for himself to take us home to heaven one day to live with him. But we know that's not the only reason. Now, out of these few verses, you're going to see, out of all these verses, and as far as the rest of the chapter, he tells us what happens now since we are saved. He gives us an obligation, only gives us two verses with obligation. We have an obligation. Every child of God that's born again has an obligation. And God gives us that. He tells us all of this, a matter of things that he's done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And then he gives us two little verses in this chapter about our obligation to him. Now, let's go back before we get to that, because we were looking last week at the fifth thing of being joint heirs with Christ. Let's go back to verse 14 and watch. Let's pray. Father, Lord, please open our heart and minds to this book. Lord, help us to understand it for our benefit, not to puff us up, not to make us look any smarter than anyone else, but, Lord, to just to be able to analyze who you are, who we are in you, and what this book does for us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, so that we will be settled on the things of God while others are tossed to and fro whenever we're in the doctrine. Give us that ability to understand what we need to know to do our part in time until you call us out. And may, dear fathers, we hear from time to time people are talking about how they're blessed. May that the blessing that comes from this book to someone's heart be passed to someone else. So when we leave this earth, our time runs out. We left something behind that where a person has grown in grace and knowledge and can carry on what you started, well, even 6,000 years ago. And for our time to carry it on for the last 2,000 years in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So go back and say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now he gives us, again, the Holy Spirit, and he gives us three ways of assurance here. He says, this is how we know. We've been led by the Holy Spirit. And go into that in detail. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a joy to see that. Not only are we born into the family of God, but we have access to it inheritance by adoption, in the sense that we don't have to wait for that at full age as adopted to receive it when the time comes. But look in verse 16 now. He says, the Spirit. Now, what's this next word? Itself. That's a verse that throws a lot of people, because there's a doctrine going around, has been going around for years, that because of that word itself, it's a neuter word, and therefore this says it's not masculine or feminine. In the Greek, it's a neuter word, therefore itself doesn't refer to a personality. And so all of a sudden people begin to talk about that he's talking about Spirit at this time. We know that the Spirit itself is a capital letter. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness what with our spirit. Now, the Spirit itself is talking about the Holy Spirit here, because it follows the Spirit with a capital S, which means the Holy Spirit. But then it talks about, he said, itself without witness, beareth witness with our spirit. What's that? He didn't say that the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit, because to be to our spirit, he could be outside bearing witness to it. But he says he's bearing witness with our spirit. That means he's inside where our spirit's at, and everything is closer. It's closer than if I shake Brother Ken's hand. That Holy Spirit's closer to me than that would be, because I can't live in him. Aren't you glad, brother? I can't live in him, and he can't live in me. But the Holy Spirit lives in us. So he's witness. That says he has access to us anytime as long as we'll let him. That says I don't have to go looking for him. Amen. Thank you, brother. I don't have to go looking for him. I may not know where he's at, but I don't have to go looking for him, because I have the promise he's in me all the time. So there must be something wrong inside if I can't seem to find him. So he just backs away a little bit. You know why? The Word of God's the only thing to activate him. You can talk all the language you want to religiously, but it won't do anything. Only the Word of God will bring about the activation that's needed so you and I can grow like we should have. And so he goes on. He said, now with the Spirit, with our spirit, in the word itself. The word itself it's written, and they say this is more talking about a force. We have people nowadays saying, well, you see, talking about the Holy Spirit of God, it's just a force, because itself shows it's not a personality. Ladies and gentlemen, context tells us, though, in an age, one word like that, and I couldn't find any other word just like it, except one place in the Scripture, and everywhere else you find the Holy Spirit mentioned, he's talking about it being a personality. Did you know that he can speak? Some people say that this is of influence rather than a person. Yet, if you go to Acts chapter 13, verse 2, you see he speaks. Listen, an influence or a force don't speak. You may see the result of a force, but you won't hear it ever speak. If it speaks, it's got a personality to it. If it can talk at all in the sense of carrying a conversation. Someone said, wait now, preacher, I've heard a dog say, I'm hungry up there. Hey, what you heard won't no speak like you and I have. Amazing how they put that on the television years ago, and it went all the way everywhere, and you thought that dog would really be able to carry a conversation. No, the only thing he could say is he knew that when he made that sound, he could get fed. Right? I've never seen a dog yet you sit down and carry a conversation with. I'm trying to show you, we're in the image of God. Only that image can carry a conversation. But someone say, well, amen, preacher, the other day I was at a place, and the person told me this back one time, I was at a place, and this thing came up to me as a robot, and he could talk to me just like I was talking to him. No one, nobody around him at all. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. There's a lot of things. And somebody said, wait a minute, GPS and talk to me. Modern day technology is ruining us, isn't it? It's causing us anxious things. You know, everything there is programmed for that by somebody, though, somehow or another. It has no intelligence just to do what. And they think they're going to make an intelligent one of these days. It can do a lot of things, but everything it does has to be done because it's fed knowledge. It has to be fed knowledge. But you and I have ability to really learn and study, and that same thing. I don't think there's ever been a robot that's been made that could say, you know what, I need to sit down and study a while. The only thing you can do, if it's not doing anything, it's not activated, it's not doing anything until somebody does something to activate it and give it information. And by the way, within the modern age today, you can give it information, and it can respond in a lot of ways. It just blows your mind, doesn't it? But there will never be somebody. There will never be a robot saved. He has no heart. And he doesn't know what it is to receive Christ anyhow. So here, he's talking about itself. They say that this is just a force. But when you notice the Spirit itself, it means the force is an invisible thing. It talks about like being the breath or the wind. Here's the thing about a force has no biological being about it. There's no life about a force. You can see the results of a force because that's what storms and things are. But it has no life of its own. It works within the laws that God sets up in meteorology and other things when it comes out. It has no personality in the sense of we being in the image of God, what I'm trying to say. Though we live in an age today where people are trying to destroy that and make God less and nothing so that we in turn look like fools who believe in a force having the power to do something that whereas claimed to be God when they said it's just a force. And so this itself is just a way I believe that God has shown us to study it, because when you find something that seems to contradict itself, use the power of knowledge where it doesn't contradict itself. And you find all through the Scripture, I just guarantee you, just run a study on the Holy Spirit, and you'll find that He is a personality. He's part of the Godhead. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit is just only a force, so is only God, because they're co-equal. And you see how when you really understand what God lets us understand, the world thinks we're foolish. It just will never make sense to us who are saved, because we know God is real. We know that we are in His image. And so therefore, He is preparing a way to get us back to Him through faith in terms of where we see Him with our physical eyes in the glorified body. And so He said it very with itself, but again, it's like breath, like wind, has no biological life, but it's the indivisible. Our spirit is the indivisible part of man. I cannot see your spirit. You cannot see my spirit. On the other hand, I know you have one and I have one. And I know it's fallen because it's cut off from God. And I know John said God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So there's no way to worship God unless we've got a spirit. Why? God is a spirit. He's in a spiritual world. So therefore, God has to quicken our spirit for us to see Him by faith until God can put that new creation in the glorified body, and we see Him with the eyes of that glorified body. So that spirit itself kind of deceives you in a way, because that in itself does not set forth that God is not a reality, a personality, God the Holy Spirit. There's too many other verses show that. I don't know why the Lord did that. Most people translate that they himself. And I don't have no problem with that, but I don't have any trouble with itself. I may not ever understand fully, but I know this. I've got enough proof. I've got a 99.9% proof that the Holy Spirit is a personality. This may be 0.1%, something else and they can't put together, but when you get to heaven, God will fill that in. So I'm not going to let a 1.1% of something change my whole idea about God when I've got 99.9% that I believe that he proves himself biblically. Okay? So don't let anybody throw you on that. Because this thing, a lot of times people find things in the Bible like, and they say, well, I can just show you, well, the Holy Spirit's not even a real person because it says itself. It don't say himself. And by the way, it don't say herself either. Amen. So look, he said, the Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if you, like I said, I'll give you one verse. You look in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, and you find the Holy Spirit spoke. He spoke to send Barnabas and Paul out as a missionary in that church at Antioch there at that particular time. And so here, I'll go back to verse 10 and 13. I'll show you right here in these verses, if you've been listening as we look last week. In verse 10, watch, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. I'm going to show you that right here in this chapter, this itself cannot be what some say just a force. It is a force, but it's a mind behind the force, and that force is the Holy Spirit of God. And the capital S shows me he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God when he tells us that in verse 16. But what's 10? He said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, let me tell you something. A force is not life. A force can destroy life, but force is the law working of somehow that comes out, and we know in meteorology it can be wind, tornado, and all other places. But here he's talking about this Spirit having life. And therefore, it's got to be more than just a force. Though God is the greatest force that's ever existed. And so not what from again. He says also, verse 11, what? He said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Wait a minute. Dwell in you? That's more than just a force. Sometimes a force has not even got control. It just goes where it wants to go. Right? Unless the laws that governs it. Now, we're able to harness forces. I'm so grateful we can harness fire. It can be good or bad, can't it? And it can, right now, pretty bad out in Tennessee in the western part of our nation, in the eastern part of Tennessee. But on the other hand, I'm sure glad to have it when it gets cold. Aren't you? So we learn how to harness that. But watch, he's talking about here, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Ladies and gentlemen, he says he's going to quicken us by his Spirit that dwells in us now. That is, the mortal body itself is going to be raised one of the days by that Spirit. There's no way in the world that a force could do that. There's no way a force could give life to you and I. There's no way a force could raise our bodies up. So you see, I don't understand. There's a lot of things we can't quite understand, but the world will take one word and get people to believe the whole thing's wrong. But I'll tell you this, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit is not a personality. It may come back that he's a force. You can't see him. You see the results of him. Maybe it's got characteristics of things, and just why the Holy Spirit did it, don't understand. It'd been better if he said himself. He wouldn't have had a problem there. But I know this, everything about who he is force. You can't see him, but you know the results. You see the results. How do you see the results? If you're saved, I see the results of what the Holy Spirit did for you when he brought the gospel to your heart. So then he goes on, and we get down to verse 17. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And amazing. Not only are we sons of God in the sense of a birth, but we are children of God. Now, you say, preacher, what's the difference in that? Well, the one difference is the fact is this. We're sons of God by birth, but we're also sons of God by adoption. Now, a person is born into a family. I was born in this family. You're born in your family. We weren't born in each other's family. We were born in our own family. But with God, there's only one family. And so when we're born into his family, we're born again. But wait a minute. He's also setting forth when you say that we have been adopted, is the fact is that the adoption shows us that if I was not born in your family physically, but you adopt in your family physically, then I would also be a heir of anything that family had because I'm part of the family by adoption. And so you have to go through a process. You may go to Hebrews and you find you may be 4 years old and inherit everything, but you can't get it till you come of age. Adopted can't get it. Everybody has to come to age. But he's saying adoption gives us the age problem. It moves everything. We don't have to wait because the adoption gives us instant place to get the reward when it's there. And go to Hebrews and he expands it out. But you know how, we'll look at this last thing just a minute. Look at this last thing in verse 17. He said, if you be children. Now what? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now it's the Holy Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now what's the next verse? And if children. Now if I don't know that, how do I go to the next verse? Because he puts an if there. It's not that he puts an if there because it can't happen. He puts an if there that you may understand, did it happen? If not, it needs to happen because you cannot be an heir of God or joint heir to Christ unless you've been born into the family of God. So he says, and if children, if you come to the fact you know you trust Christ, you've got it settled, you have the Spirit's come in, you are growing, you are yielding to him, you are becoming what he wants you to be, you are concerned about all those things that God makes you concerned about souls, because God is concerned about souls. Then he says, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus or Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified to God. Now, it's amazing. When he talks about inheritance, he said, this is going to be a genuine proof that you are a child of God. You're going to be heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. But this is going to come because if you're truly born of God, you're going to suffer some for me. What God is telling us, you're not going to live in this world and live for me. And the world say, boy, we're so glad to have them. And that's when you go and you know, he said, you're going to suffer and suffer, get rewards. Now, when you talk about suffering, you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Remember what he says? He said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus. You remember what he said there? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yeah, what he said? In verse 12, he said, yea. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Didn't say you might. Think about it before you do it. He said if you do it, you're going to suffer some type of persecution. Why? Because this world hates what God is doing. Sin hates righteousness. Unrighteousness hates righteousness. Sin hates godliness because sin is of a fallen condition that wants everything selfishly and feel like that they can do away with God. And so what he's showing us here, that we're going to be joint heirs and joint heirs with him. So now we have as a privilege of the Holy Spirit of God, which gives a new mind, new nature, and a new identity. We had five privileges. We said the Holy Ghost gives us guidance. We saw that in verse 14. He gives us freedom from fear, verse 15, first part of that. And he gives the right to call God Father in verse 15, the latter part. He gives the inside assurance in verse 16. And of course, he gives the right of God heirship. That is, we're heirs of God and joint heirs through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I see this, go back and rehearse my mind, then I've got to realize, but God said, whoa, wait a minute now, right stuck in the middle of this is an obligation. So far, it looks like, isn't it a wonderful thing? Look what God has done, and I received it, praise God, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. And God seemed to say, wait a minute, look into us 13 and 14. 12 and 13. In other words, so now here we have the Spirit of God. Here we have the new name. Mind. Here we have the new nature. Here we have the new identity. Here we have the privilege to be called sons of God. But watch what he says now. He shows us simply that there's a great obligation. In verse 12, you go back when he talks about, but if the Spirit of him that raised in Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All that God's going to do. Everything here God's going to do. Therefore, amazing how we read over that. Therefore, brethren, who's he talking to? He's not talking to the world. Amen? Amen? Brethren, Lord, I have to say that's me. I'm a child of God. I'm a brethren. Just as much so as what Romans is saying here to the church at Rome. Brethren, we are debtors. Wait a minute. To who? Notice, not to the flesh. In other words, you owe something. All this has been done for you, and God has loved you so much, God has done this for you. But in this, you owe something. Wait a minute, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Watch what he said. not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Isn't that what he's been telling us, that those who walk out the Spirit walk out the flesh, who they are and how that comes, and why we're there, how we come to walk rather than after the flesh? Then he says in verse 4, and this right here has been taught one of the greatest verses that's found in this chapter of the book of Romans at this time. It is amazing that what it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Now, in other words, what all God's done, if you don't have this, and they don't do something to curb you about how you should live, he said, if you live but the flesh only, you shall die. Why? That's what God said. The wages of sin is death. Everything the flesh leads to is death. So there's got to be something that comes in that starts making us change to walk with the Spirit. We may take a good lifetime to get to where we need to get, but there is a constant, steady change until God takes us home. And that final attack, what he says is, he said, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If that's the only thing you have, you're going to die. And not only are you going to die physically, but there's the eternal death that's there. Because he said, what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you look, he said, watch, but if you through the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, capital S, do mortify, that means put to death, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If my lifestyle, since I got saved as a babe in Christ and now hope to mature somewhere else 57 years later, is not moving towards a direction that put into death the deeds of the flesh, and if I don't find that happening, then I better check up, because he said, if that's all you got, if you say that I've done all this for you and you have no power to do anything whatsoever, first of all, you don't have no power to respond to it, but he tells if we don't respond to it, he's not going to do it for us. So what is he saying? Look, it's like this. He says, they've done all of this for you. But right here's the section. It's like God saying this. I did this for you, but it won't benefit you unless you do what I say do. And what is the first thing? He don't tell us to try to live. We don't know how to live. He tells us, to his men receive him, to them gave you power to become sons of God. He says that, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. Paul told Philip, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What is that? John 1:12, to whom is received him, to them he gave power to sons of God. This little bit here. God, listen, ladies and gentlemen, he sent to the Lord all of this. Listen, for us to understand, and they don't. He says, all of this that we've done, I've done for you, except right here where you're at. Now, there's nothing you can do but receive it. I say, well, Lord, I don't think that. I think I want to be doing that. Lord, I've been doing that. No. He said, wait a minute. I've told you what I've done for you. Now it's where you are to look at it, analyze it, think about it, but I give you the ability to make a decision and realize what I say to you is truth, and those who deny what I say to you is false. It's actually false doctrine that's given to you. And so here he says, therefore, if you live according to the sinful nature all the time, it's a sign that we're not saved and you'll die. But if the Spirit you put to death, the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. In other words, the fact is, the fruit that you produce as people see someone, even though we realize we all have failures, but there's fruit that we produce, people see that it'll be either that which blesses God and gives God honor or don't give God honor. And by the way, the closer you get to God, the more you'll see those things. But even then, you have some problems. Because you and I never fully develop spiritually in these bodies. It's hindered all the time. All the time. I know that. But that doesn't mean that I can throw that back to God and say, well, you know, I was in this body and had nothing to do about it. He said, oh, yes, you can. I've done all this for you. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, this is my word to you. Everything in it you know, you learned with words. Either thought, spoke, or hear. Everything I am in this life, academic and otherwise, is through words. Everything you study is by words. If you get a degree, it's by words. If you learn something, it's by words. You go to a job. Most of the time, you find if he just give you a job and said, I'm doing it, you say, man, I don't know how to do it. Well, I'm not going to tell you. Well, I can't do it without words. Well, there's a diagram there. That diagram is words. Or if you explained it, it's words. What I'm saying to you, God, we're creatures of words. And therefore, God has given us his word. Isn't that wonderful? You see what this does to you and I? That helps us understand, Lord, this thing is so real. It's not just like the way the average world looks at it. Because that world looks at it, well, that could be right, or let me just believe in Buddha or whoever it is to be right. No. God has left us his word. Jesus Christ is Logos, the very express image. John 1:1, God, Son, is the very express image of God in word. You see me, you see the Father, he said that time. And so these verses tell us two things about our obligation. These two verses does. First of all, he tells us we owe nothing to the flesh. You and I owe the flesh not one thing now. As you do this, why don't we owe anything to the flesh? One reason is because we have been set free from the power of the flesh. That's what Romans 6 tells us. We yield to who we yield to now. And I get this so much. People say, well, I yield who I want to. And if you're not saved, you can't. You can figure something in your mind, yield to it, but it'll be something with the flesh. Because we're all selfish without God, folks. When it comes to our life, we're selfish without God. And he shows us how that we're to be used for him. He set forth that we've been set free from the power of the flesh. We are no longer walking the flesh, but we walk now in the Spirit. And that's what he tells us. He tells us, in fact, there's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the walk that God honors the most is when he walks after the Spirit. We're no longer walking in the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the Spirit. Then the flesh once controlled us, but now we are free from that. Second reason is because the flesh does us no good. The flesh doesn't help me one bit for God unless I let him through the Spirit and my spirit overcome the flesh. It pleases God. You know what Paul's talking about beating himself in subjection? He's talking about a lot of times that's what it is when it comes. He's not beating himself like we see over in the Middle East do at times, bloody back. But he says, here, I bring myself into subjection sometimes because I listen to what God says and then I realize just hearing is not going to make me do it. God's not going to burdenize my will to get saved. He's not going to burdenize my will to serve him. Why? He's saying to Satan, look at him. Look at him. They'll show you whether they love me or not. And just like this, if we ever knew the truth, I bet you there's some Jobs since Job's time that God has showed Satan a few times too. But he didn't have no reason to document it. Why? He's already documented it. He's already given us how it would be. And so we understand that Job, certainly. By the way, and Job didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. Can you imagine? He must have been a faithful man, hadn't he? He must have really been a strong child of God in that day as he was there. We find that the flesh can do us no good. Consider the ministry of the flesh sometimes. If you go back, you can do it better now you're saved. The flesh tempts us to do evil all the time, not part of the time. You say, you know, bless God, I'm glad it's Sunday. He won't tip you on Sunday. You just watch. I guarantee you, when you get out of the car, it won't crank, tire go flat, or somebody will run through a stoplight. I'll tell you, he don't have any day he gives us off. So we know this. We find ourselves, it tempts us to do evil. And then, of course, we also know it pulls us away from God. It wars continue with the Holy Spirit. That's flesh stuff. We don't have to live in the flesh anymore. Why? Because we don't owe the flesh a thing. And that's what God is telling. Look what I've done for you. Trust me for this. Words. Trust me. Believe this. You know what it talks about? That which we believe that all things are possible with God. And it goes on as he finishes this. And then we go down to the second thing he comes to. Not only we owe the flesh nothing, but we owe everything. And here's the thing. We owe everything to God. And that sets forth that I have to understand. That means I owe everything to the Holy Spirit because he's God in my flesh and he's living in here. So I know this. Whatever God is to me will be known because of the Spirit of God. And whatever Jesus is to me will be more known by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said he's going to tell you about me. He's going to exalt me. John 16. In fact, he's going to be so much like me that it's going to be like you're going to know that I am living in you through the Spirit. He's going to represent me so much. It's like I'm not really leaving. That's when Jesus said, I will never leave you forsake you. Now, he said at the right hand of the Father. It really looks like then, if he's there and he's not here, did you know it's a long ways from this little planet Earth where he's at? But he said, I'll never leave you forsake it. Now, it's a known fact. We know this. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and I've got to leave before he can come. I'm here, and you don't understand. I'm here to be with you, to answer your questions, to teach you, but you can only hear me when I'm with you. But the Holy Spirit's going to come when I leave. He's not just going to be with you like I am. He's going to be in you with your spirit. And you're going to have the Word of God given to you that you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so here, it's called Romans 8:13. The most important single, they say, this verse is, that is in the Scriptures. They like it because it contains a beautiful balance. There's God's part, and all of this, he says, is his part. And it looks like we have no part, but then he comes out, wait a minute, there is a part. And unless you understand I do my part and what it is, and understand you can't do my part, then I want you to understand also, what I've done for you, I'm just not going to burglarize you with it. I'm going to take and lay it out before you. Yes, I have my dear saint of God go by and tell you. Yes, I have somebody that's led to teach a class. I have somebody who spend midnight hours with you if you need to. I have somebody to knock on your door. I have somebody to go by and tell you about me. And I will use the Holy Spirit to convict you, because you're going to feel the drawing of that spirit when they talk about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you see Jesus Christ as your Savior, then many things are going to come to you. There is my part, which is the whole most, but it'll never benefit you unless you receive my part, because you can never do my part. And hear this, and I close. And God has said, I will never do your part for you either. I will never make you believe, and I will never believe for you. You can't save yourself. I've done all, but ladies and gentlemen, you think I spent a lot of time on this. You haven't spent no much time with me teaching. I have studied it. Believe me, I've been through this, like just about diagnosed every letter. And what he said at the end of this, before we get down to the next, because next thing we see when he talks about suffering, he said, verse 18, I reckon this world, watch, I love this, I reckon the suffering in this world's present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us when that time comes. Isn't that amazing? And he said, listen, all of this that he's done, I've done. And by this much more, but in this chapter, show how Paul is delivered from that wretched man that he is. All of this I have done for you. You can't do it for yourself. I've done it for you. Didn't cost you a dime. Cost me my son. He went and paid the price. I extract eternal death. I did all this for you. All of this for you. This little minute detail here, though, it won't benefit you unless you receive it. I could make you, but I won't. Why? You're in my image. I give you the ability to think. I give you the ability to look at the facts, look at the reality. But I'll tell you this, all of this that I've done, showing my love, John 3:16, for the world, this I want you to know is for you. But it never benefits you unless you receive it. And therefore, though I did it for you out of love, I can't make you, or better still, I won't make you believe it. It's amazing, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father, love you, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Most blessed book down my age has ever been, Lord. It's more blessed now when I got saved, though it was blessed then. Lord, I understand Hebrews a little more about talking about the babe in Christ on the milk of God's word. I thank thee to understand the meat of God's word, Lord, but I thank thee the fact that it's just to help me as a babe grow in grace knowledge of the Lord, not to be some super giant Christian. It's just to make us humble and walk before you and say you are everything to us, and we are nothing without you. And yet, oh, what manner of love that goes in our heart when we know that God has made us children of God. All of that that God has done for us automatically comes at us and sealed because of the promise of God in our heart. Why in the world will we not serve Him? Why would we not be faithful? Why would we not try to win souls? Why would we not find, Lord, what was the burden of your heart here? Because in your absence, the Holy Spirit has that burden. And He lives in me. I must have that burden. Please let me yield to it. Help us in these days to see you through eyes of faith. And then one day before long, eye is not seen now, ear is not heard, neither in the heart of man, all those things that God has prepared for us. But one of these days before long, we're going to see it. We're going to see ourselves as we really are, John says in the resurrection. Right now we see ourselves even through faith. We see ourselves as a child of God through faith. But John says in that resurrection comes, we're going to see ourselves as we are. In other words, we're going to see ourselves then as we are now, saved, but in the glorified body, which is far better. Lord, bless your people going in tonight because they want to grow. Help this book be that bread from heaven that will feed the new man. Give us assurance these last days. So I'm going to tell you, you get closer to coming to the Lord, we're going to have more than just religion, more just talk. We're going to have some reality of things in God's Word that's food for the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Amen.